Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy coming in about 30 minutes late on the time schedule, but nevertheless, we're here all hooked up in the harness and ready to go. Praise Yahweh. Hope that you have waited on us and you haven't given up on the shepherd's call. Praise Yahweh, for you know not what hour we come. Well, that's the result of probably automated holiday seasoning and things of this nature, praise Yahweh, but nevertheless, we're here. We're delighted to have you on board. Call a friend. Tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air tonight, praise Yahweh. This is the 25th of December, the year 2001. Well, we're clipping right along, praise Yahweh. We look at this day as a day to devote our time and love and energies toward our Creator. We don't believe in exchanging gifts. We are not in the Christmas mode, praise Yahweh. We are in the gospel mode. And if you are full of turkey and dressing and things of this nature, and you pagans full of ham, well, we've got news for you. Yahweh is coming back to destroy them that eats swine flesh. And you go behind the buildings to do your worship, praise Yahweh. Or you run to the bell boxes, and that's not good. So you need to sit down and analyze your life, where you're at, how to keep your temple holy, praise Yahweh. Well, we are in the exciting series, if you will, the Ephraim descendants, and we're in the genetic downlines, and we're going to do a series. We think it's the most important subject that hasn't been told. We are here to tell that which has been hidden for generations, because we are chosen as one of the last day prophets to come along and make known, number one, that Christ was not a Jew, that he did not, I repeat, did not descend from the tribe of Judah. Now, there is some mysteries that we are unveiling. We are laying, actually, we are laying ground truth zero, gestalt operation here on this very subject. We are actually breaking the trail, so to speak, because we know of no one in the continental divine that preaches this message on revelation of truth, that Ephraim was the birthright and Christ came from the birthright tribe through genetics. Now, we are set for the defense of the gospel. We're going to get into some of the deep, hidden mysteries and reveal the truth, because in the Bible says in the last days that the truth will come forth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we're not interested in mama's little children, daddy's little children, or your favorite pets. We're not here to stroke your feelings. We're not here to coerce you or to fleece you. We're here to give you truth, raw, naked truth, or meat from the throne of heaven. And if you are hungry, and Yah says that his sheep are, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's the headlines of the day. Where are the hungry? Now, the scriptures are very, very emphatic in stating that there shall come a famine in the land in the last days, not for bread or water, but for hearing the word. Now, the word will get very scarce. You shall seek prophets, and most people, I spent a lot of my life trying to find prophets that had truth. Most of them are compromisers. They are here to tickle ears, to gather an audience or a following. Dr. Gary and I were talking today about these prophets that gather the chickens into their own little nest, and there they hibernate with them. They go into cult-like tendencies of teachings and to keep their little flock in line. Well, we are not interested in gathering a large gathering. We are interested in sowing truth. We suggest that you take the truth that we give you, analyze it, look at the Word, ask the Father for its authenticity, and therefore the Bible says you shall be a declarer or a witness for the truth. Now, if you can take the heat, now there's a choice or there is a price. If you take Yahweh, the Bible said, choose this day who you'll serve. If you take Yahweh and His truth, you walk alone. You don't have many friends. You are an outsider looking in to the inside where they are or cannot see the trees for the forest. At least you have a view, praise Yahweh, as you look in to the truth, you see the hidden mysteries unfold. He that heareth, the scriptures are very plain, ladies and gentlemen, to him that heareth, more will be given. You cannot, and I repeat this, you cannot be caught up in the love of the world. You cannot be frolicking and banqueting and going from one holy day to the next, and you see the merchants are waxing rich. Now, just after this pagan day, then we're going to have major, and I repeat, the merchants will come in with major after Christmas sales, and the cash registers will start tingling again. Then right after that, ladies and gentlemen, before we turn around, we are into a New Year's and New Year's Eve celebration, another reason to get drunk, another reason to banquet, and another reason to revel and to raise hell and to drink and in a drunken stupor. More people are killed on these holidays than any other times of the year. Mass exodus, people filling the highways in a drunken, drugged state of ecstasy as they go hurling down the road in a 3,000-pound vehicle, a bullet, if you will, at breakneck speed to get to grandma's house just to celebrate or to revelry and things that they do as they do in the pagan customs of the times. Well, for you Bible students, I'm sure you won't, you know all of that, and so therefore you're wanting to be taught. Well, welcome aboard to the Shepherd's Call. I hope they give me another hour tonight, praise Yahweh, for starting me 30 minutes late, and I guess maybe since it's automated up there, that probably won't happen, but I'd love to have 2 hours to really kick this into gear and take it to a level of you Bible students, you hungry sheep, as we teach you from the Psalms. We're starting in chapter 78, and we are going to start in the, let me start at verse 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. Know anybody like that, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, well, the scriptures have said, and Christ himself quoted this scripture in the book of Psalms that was foretelling the day that he would come. They were talking about Israel, by the way. They draw near with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. For their heart is not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we get into covenant principles here at the Shepherd's Call. We are the only church in the United States of America that we know of that teaches these divine aspects of the Melchizedek covenant. Others say they do. We do it. We just don't talk the talk. We walk the walk as we meet in sacred ground where we have built altars according to biblical specifications, and there we meet on the annual Sabbath and the high days where it is appointed as the scriptures have indicated. And there we ordain our believers, those who have been washed and cleansed in the divine name of Yahweh. They are made acceptable priests and kings into the Melchizedek high priest covenant. We give out certificates of approval and sign those that you are, if you have been, initiated into the divine Melchizedek altar covenants that we sponsor here on the Shepherd's Call. We are a many multifaceted ministry that just for the low budget operations that we are, we do many, many wonderful things in addressing the issues and bringing the meat to the table. Now, we've been accused of being in witchcraft because we gather in a circle of fire. Oh, you heard me right. We gather in a place sacred where that there are, in remembrance of our ancestors, by the way, we gather in a circled position where there are 12 chosen stones in a circle, 360 degrees, laid out perfectly aligned due north, where that we have these stones as they were in Joshua chapter 4, as they were commanded, and in also the 27th chapter of the book of Leviticus and other places too numerous to mention, as our message tonight is to go into Ephraim, the descendants. And the reason I'm laying this groundwork is to prepare you. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got some outstanding information on this Ephraim series. We have done this actually is the eighth in the series as we started out in Ephraim, USA. We proved that the United States in prophecy, Revelations 13, if you will, is Ephraim, and it is a style and profile of the very tribe that Yahweh chose. And we're going to give you some interesting statistics as we go into this exciting series. It's going to take us a while to really unload our heart, because our heartbeat and our passion is for our cause that we teach here tonight, that we are to alert, gather, and inform a blind Israel, Ephraim in particular. When I say Ephraim, I'm going to indicate that I'm talking about the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 10 tribes, northern tribes, if you will, as they were out in the scriptures. Now, why? Because Yahweh has given us this key and this clue as to who he is and where he is at and where they are at. I'm talking about his people, praise Yahweh. And we're going to talk about Judah and Ephraim, the two sticks going to be joined together. My, we're going to have so many exciting avenues of approach to this as a series that you will not want to miss this advanced teaching. Now, this is for the meat eaters. The milk drinkers will never catch on. They will never understand where we're coming from. And therefore, this is especially for the graduates from the milk. The Bible said, he that is on milk is unskillful in the word of Yahweh. Now, if that's truth, remember in the 78th Psalms here and in the 16th verse, he brought streams also out of the rock. Now, we're going to talk about the rock. My, oh my, I just wish I had about 300 hours to teach on this, ladies and gentlemen, and I could just nonstop just teach this in a successive, while the flow of the Spirit is coming down like a mighty rushing wind. I feel the great anointing from the King of Kings. I am just like a river of living water that in the words are coming faster than my mouth can operate. And ladies and gentlemen, this is amazing how that there is so much untold information that needs to be told in the last days. Now, I'll give you the indication of the scriptures as it is said in John's Gospel. The last chapter, these things, talking about the Gospels that were written, and we are in the 39 chapters of the Old Parchment and the 27 of the New, and we are to compile these with the 12 that they left out, and then all of the hidden scriptures and the books that didn't make it in that should have, ladies and gentlemen. I'm particularly going to chastise those that left out the book of Enoch, Oh, no wonder they left out that amazing book. We might just get it down and dust it off and get into it one of these days to bring you up to speed, to tell you about the angelic visitations in the time of Enoch, who himself was translated into that other time portal, through the time portal, into the vortex, and through the vortex, into the fifth dimension, where he now is on board those flaming chariots that run through the sky like lightning. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Messiah himself that rose, conquering death, hell, and the grave, survived even the death of the torture stake. He ate and drank with them, according to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, after he rose from the dead, and he himself is now visible. He is a real entity. He is coming back with nail prints in his hands, a cut in his side, proof, living proof, that this mighty one, 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, get this if you will, he's not aged one day. His hair is white like wool, by the way. The whiteness of his hair, it represents wisdom in the embodiment of the Creator in that temple. Oh my, I could talk about that for 1,000 years, and then the hack wouldn't be told. That is recorded in John, where it says that these things are written that you might believe, and if all the things were written about our Creator, I'm talking about Yahweh Shua in a flesh body, and all the truths that are associated around him, through him, and for him, praise Yahweh, that even the world itself could not contain the written books that could be written on this subject. And no wonder that the Spirit is coming to me in revelation faster than I can open my mouth. And praise Yahweh, I just wish and I just hope for a time coming when that I could gather up all of the house of Ephraim. I'm talking about the 10 scattered tribes of Ephraim, those incorporated under the banner of Ephraim, which is the house, the northern kingdom, and we are then will bind back together the two sticks of Judah and Ephraim, or the 10 tribes of Israel plus Judah and Benjamin. We'll wrap ourselves together one more time, and we shall become the mighty battling stick, if you will, or the ramrod, if you will, of Yahweh, as we destroy our enemies and we make a mincemeat of Satan and the children of darkness. But notice here in the 7th chapter, when they got water from the rock, listen to me, the rock, praise Yahweh, hallelujah, in the daytime he led them in with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He brought streams out of the rock. He caused the rivers to run down like he caused waters to run down out of that little rock. That is Jacob's stone, the emblem, the symbol of the birthright. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, according to Genesis 49 and 10, Judah had the scepter. Now, the scepter was granted to Judah because of default, because Ephraim Joseph was moved out and went into Egypt, a type of the 10 tribes. Now, it is true that Judah stayed true long after that the 10 tribes of Israel were disposed of and scattered into through the Caucasus Mountains and into the various places of the earth. Now, in the circle, if I had the opportunity to, if you was to sit in my presence, I could get on an altar built in true alignment to the north and having all the tribes according to Numbers chapter 2 in perfect union as they are prescribed by Yahweh himself, laid out in a complete 360 degree circle with a 30 degree alignment to each tribe in between, which gives us 360 degrees of righteousness in Yahweh. Yes, he is the flaming sword. This is the symbol, if you will, with his divine name in the center of the divine covenant. There, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is the flaming sword that keeps the way of the tree of life. Now, if you stand on a sacred altar, if you are initiated into this divine Melchizedek kingdom, I repeat, and I warn you, and I caution you, before you do this, you will never be the same. Your life will change dramatically. this one flow of eternal truth and spirit will begin to flood it into your inner being. Remember the scriptures as it is said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of me shall flow rivers of living water. This is the rock of Jacob, the stone of Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim being the birthright sons chosen to carry forever this rock. Oh my, hallelujah. And it is a symbolic rock today, but yet they shall come a great mystery unfolded as once again this rock, this stone of stone, wherever it lays tonight, it shall be retrieved and put back in its righteous place. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, a prophet will strike that rock, and again, the miraculous miracle of a great flood of rivers of living water shall flow from this rock. Hallelujah. They sin yet the more after they saw this great divine miracle as he fed and watered 4,000 in the wilderness of these murmuring, complete idiotic Israelites who are as dumb sheep, wondering, murmuring, and complaining, even as they are to this very hour. They tempted Yahweh in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Now, when you bring the meat of the word, they want milk. And when you get milk into the assembly of Israel, it becomes anemic. Yes, it does, ladies and gentlemen, because it can no longer tolerate the digestive system. The juices of truth never flows into the belly to digest the meat, and therefore they get the colic or the tummy ache, if you will, and they have no teeth to chew on the revelation of truth. Yet they speak against Yahweh and said, can Yahweh furnish a table when they lusted for meat? And Yahweh blew in literally millions of quail. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said the east wind blew in, and from this, when I tell you this, you're going to have a hallelujah shout down if you are one of the disciples of Jacob Israel and you follow the divine teachings. It blew in from the east. Well, if you go directly west from the east as it blows across, ladies and gentlemen, where do you think this great covey of quail came from? Duh. Now, if it blew in from the east coast, it must have meant that you would have to directly across the Atlantic Ocean and bring these birds from afar. And what better place than the hidden wilderness of the United States of America, at that time nothing but a wilderness, where there were just a few of the Israelites in to lay foundational proof that we were the sons of Yah. Oh my. Well, I'm getting a signal that we are coming down to the end of the hour. Praise Yahweh. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. I don't know where I'm going to get to come back to you after the break, but if you will, stay tuned. Don't give up. Miracles never cease. This is Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. I'll be back if I'm scheduled. If not, we'll see you tomorrow night at 8 Eastern Standard Time. Stay tuned. I'm all fired up now, and I hope my voice will not be cut off. We'll see you in a couple. Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard tonight with us. Praise Yahweh. We've got some very interesting things. We're live and direct tonight on truth. And last night, we only got in 30 minutes of this very exciting series that we're doing on the descending sons of Joseph. Of course, we're looking at Ephraim here tonight as the descending birthright son. We're going to rightly put him in his position of inheriting the birthright. Now, long we have helped and been told and been convinced by liars, those who profess that they are Jews, and those who profess that they know the calling of the Jews is that they are God's chosen people. Well, that is not necessarily true. Now, we're going to prove that in our series of Ephraim. Tonight, we are going to go back into the 78th chapter where that we were cut off last night 30 minutes of the message, we will pick it up so you won't lose anything as a result of our message. We started in Psalms 78, and we're going to talk about this very exciting chapter and give you some revelations from it that maybe you have never seen before, and then put them in a proper perspective, place them in the sequence as they are to be looked at and to believe upon, praise Yahweh, and we'll make, we can make some sense of this vast confusion that has come upon the sleeping tribes of Israel. Now, we talked about in the first half of the show, which was actually the last half, really, the last 30 minutes, where we come on last night at 8:30, we started in the 78th chapter, and we started in the 9th verse. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of Yahweh and refused to walk in His law. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're not specifically dealing with the single tribe of Ephraim. Here we are incorporating the house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, as the children of Ephraim. Now, they're the children of the birthright. That's why that they are included. All of the 10 tribes shall inherit in the birthright promise as we are revealing the scriptures. Now, they forgot, the 10 tribes, His works and His wonders that He showed. He did marvelous things. He brought streams out of the rock, that single rock that we talked about, then the stone of stone, if you will, the stone of Joseph, the pillar that Jacob slept on, praise Yahweh, that became the symbol of the birthright. This has been carried by the house of Scotland, not the house of England. Now, England being Manasseh, the close kin, with the jealousies and the envies and the strife that was worked up after the fact, as Manasseh became a mighty nation as prophesied, then as the tribe of Ephraim, not finding her place in history at that time, began to be under persecution of their own English brothers. And so the Scottish-Irish tribe of Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes, if you will, were being punished severely by the House of England. Well, today it's better known as the dynasty of the king, and we are talking about King Rothschild and the international Canaanite cartel that operates, has its headquarters there in London, England, praise Yahweh. And here we are going to get into some exciting things about the scriptures. But remember, verse 9, the children of Ephraim. Now, when I talk about them, remember, it's the 10 northern tribes. Now, look what he done in the 49th. Let's start about the 45th. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to the hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of His angered wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. Look at that. He made a way to His anger. He spared not the soul from death, but gave their life over to pestilence. He smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of the strength in the tabernacles of Ham. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we see that the tabernacle of the Hamites, now Noah had three sons. So when Israel went down to dwell in the land of Egypt, they actually dwelt with their brothers in a genetic sense. Now, isn't that interesting? As it was the Assyrians, which later, after many years, the Bible says that Yahweh, in 721 B.C., to be exact, after the promised land tribes begin to settle, they begin to blaspheme, worship Baal, break his covenants, despise his Sabbath, his ordinances, and Yahweh drove them, I'm talking about the 10 northern tribes, better known here as the house of Ephraim. He took them and drove them out of the land and delivered them into the hand of the Assyrians. Now, isn't it strange, isn't it loving, in a way, for the Heavenly Father to deal kindly, as we know that we receive grace when Jacob and the other sons of Jacob went down into the land of Egypt, where Joseph had already established himself among his cousins, meaning that these were the blood-related relationship of the Ham seed. And isn't it wonderful that Yahweh would then, after many years as they dwelt in the land of promise, after breaking his laws, he would drive them into the arms of the Assyrians. Again, these are the ancient ancestors of the house of Israel. Now, there's proof there. We don't have time for time's purposes on this series to get into the sons of Assyria and their descendant sons being the white Caucasian from Mesopotamia in the land where Heber came from and dwelt. These were select beings from the priest of On, where David, or actually where Joseph knew his wife, and in Egypt, she was not a Hamite, as some would suppose. She would have been blood-related if she had been an Egyptian, because Ham, Shem, and Japheth were all brothers. However, there was a curse put up on Ham for uncovering his father's nakedness. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the 20th chapter of the book of Leviticus, it is recorded, praise Yahweh, that there is a penalty for those that would uncover their father's skirt, meaning that they would have sexual relations with their father's wife. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what happened in the case of Ham. He went in to Noah's wife. He uncovered Noah's nakedness, which the scriptures are very plain in indicating that that is a forbidden practice under the laws of Yahweh. Now, why would he do this? Praise Yahweh. Simply because the Bible says in the 18th chapter of the book of Leviticus, the forbidden sexual practices, and moreover, a man shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman, her daughter, neither shall a man take a wife or sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. It vexes the spirits. And so we go on. Now, verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast or lie down thereof to it. It brings confusion. Now, I've covered this and the miscegenation or the fornication of race mixing seed to seed. Now, this beast of the field was a servant, if you will, of the tribes of Israel. They were kept as servants. They were specially bred or made by the Elohim to carry great burdens, and they became uncivilized as after their making, and they were predominantly in the eastern part of Africa. Now, when they were brought in as slaves, or these beasts were made to carry burdens, yet they also had human characteristics to the point in their breeding process that they begin to be domesticated. And therein is the only seed upon the earth, a beast, in other words, an animal, and the beast of field here in the two words are two different words. So then these were capable of impregnating women, and they were not to lie down to a beast because it would bring out a child or a genetic offspring that would be neither Israelite or beastite. and therefore he would be confused as to its proper place in society, and that's what the scripture is saying, defile not yourselves in these things. And today it's being promoted around the world, if you will, around the nation, if you will, praise Yahweh. Now, let's go over to the 20th chapter of Leviticus, and we will look at the 11th verse. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Now, let me repeat that. The man that lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. What did Ham do? He uncovered Noah's nakedness by laying with Noah's wife. Incest was common in those days, and here we are. We're talking about procreation, and Satan moved upon Ham to tell him and to encourage him that if he would lay with Noah's wife, that he would have the blessed seed from this union. Because the first son out of the womb after the boat landed would be the blessed child to inherit. Now that's what Ham thought. But Yahweh, knowing that this would not be possible because the blessing was to go to the Shemites, not the Hamites or the Japhites. It's recorded that they too, that Ham would be a servant to the other two races. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen, with the truth as they were lying in the tent. Then Ham came in, caught Noah drunk, and laid with his wife. And this is what happened. It's a sexual practice forbidden in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11, under the law covenant as a carry down from that very episode. Remember, Reuben also lost his birthright by going up and laying with Jacob's wife, Benaiah, the concubine. Now, thought we'd clear that up for you, praise Yahweh, as we want the sins of Jacob Israel. Now we're talking about tonight Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes. When I say Ephraim from here on out, remember I'm specifically talking about the 10 northern tribes. Now, we're going to hurry for time's sake as we caught you up from the first part of the message last night, which if you stayed with us, we came on at 8:30 and you missed the first 30 minutes of the message because we were not on the air until 30 minutes into the message. But tonight we're going to make it up. That's a makeup for you. Now let me go down to verse 59 of the 78th chapter of the book of Psalms. So that he forsook, and when Yahweh heard this, he was wroth, and greatly whored Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh. Now, why did he forsake or leave or move himself from the presence of Shiloh? For a chastisement of the 10 northern tribe kingdom that had broken covenant, broken rank, if you will, with Yahweh, and went a whoring after Baal, and they had polluted the land with their defilements and their worship of these false idol gods, Baal in particular, Ishtar, and Ashtoreth, the goddess of the consolations, and that provoke Yahweh to jealousy. Yes, our Yahweh is a jealous Elohim. He delivered his strength, his chosen one, Israel, Ephraim, if you will, into captivity. 721 B.C., the whole northern kingdom of Ephraim. Remember now, we're talking about this for in the latter part of the series. We're going to unify the stick of Judah with the stick of Ephraim, meaning that the whole union of the 12 tribes will be reunified in divine order. And when that time comes, this never happened, ladies and gentlemen, from 721 later in 165 years after the fact when Judah itself broke covenant. So therefore, Yahweh cast out all of the house of Israel from his presence from this land, and it was a divine purpose, if you will, because he was going to blind them for a specific amount of time, and given this time frame that we would scatter our seed throughout all the earth and become a lost kingdom or a lost people, if you will, and this is the greatest mystery upon the earth today. We do not know who we are. Now, there's always been a remnant. Yahweh has always had his chosen ones, if you will, a remnant. And remember the scripture said in Romans, unless Yahweh had saved the remnant, then we would all, that is, all of Jacob, Israel, and Judah, itself included with the 10 northern tribes of Israel, and Benjamin miscegenated in between the two, making a full total of 12 tribes. Now with the adoption of the two sons we have in here, the 13 missing tribes, or the 13 scattered, blind Israelites, meaning the whole house of Israel, included the stick of Judah, if you will, and the stick of Ephraim. Well, this is very, very important for us to teach, to instruct you and give you instructions that you might know the whole history behind the mystery. There is a mystery, and the Bible said in the last days this mystery would be unfolded before your very presence, Jacob Israel, and then you would return back to Yahweh with your whole heart. Now, I've been very discouraged in my years of preaching racial covenant to seed line identity, simply because there are so few. I become so frustrated when I go out into the bell boxes and try to stand up and witness this truth, because I become an outcast for the truth. They don't want to know anything about their heritage. They want to believe they're dumb Gentiles, led away with the error of the wicked, and they have turned themselves into Gentiles, when in reality the house of Israel never was, never will be, Gentiles or ethnos, nations of heathen scattered abroad. Now, we'll prove to you that Israel, the lost sheep of Israel, is not Gentiles. This is a common word in the Strong's. Most of the time in the English text, it is mistranslated into the scriptures to give you a false sense of who you are. We've always believed that only the house of Judah is God's chosen people, and that we are Gentiles. We never was Israel. Well, if that's true, then the house of Judah is only one tribe. It leaves 11 more tribes lost somewhere across the continents, and somewhere there is a seed or a sheep or a people that are to be enlightened and revelated in the last days, and this great groundswell in revelation will come forth, and we shall return back to the Father. Oh my, what a happy day. My heart is just bubbling with enthusiasm as I preach this reverberating message into my own spirit, that there is still hope for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But they tempted and they provoked the Most High and kept not his testimonies. He turned his back and drove them from the land. They forsook his tabernacle. Remember, they all went over to Baal. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. When Elijah was preaching this gospel, the tabernacle, or the headquarters of Yahweh's temple, was at Shiloh. It was later moved into Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a better word for your understanding, by David when he conquered the Canaanites. Or at least he made a league or a pact with the Canaanites. They've never been conquered since Israel has been on the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, they are growing abundantly today. They have all of the wealth, 3% of the population. Well, actually, they make up less than 1% of the population. I'm talking about the Canaanite seed dispersed in the earth, and yet they own about 95% of the wealth of the nations. Now, if you need instructions on this, you just look at the empire of the Rothschilds, the Shield of Red. My, how they have grown and have been blessed abundantly with all the silver and the gold by charging Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's against the laws of Yahweh to charge your usury, and yet they have built a fabulous fortune on breaking the commandments of Yah and charging the Israelites usury. Well, we'll be back after the break. We're down at the bottom of the hour. I've caught you up in the first minute, the first 30 minutes, and the second 30. We're really going to speed it up and really get down to the brass tacks.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time on this radio station. Praise God.